continue with your calls on the Mets at 888-808-1019, but we'll work the Yankees into the conversation now. And for me, BT, it's just the same nonsense with them. Forget about the loss last night, which is just boring, dreadful baseball yet again by the Yankees. You know, whether it's Volpe, whatever, you look at the bottom of the order, they get three guys hitting 200. I know McMahon just came here and he's all right, but still he's a 200 hitter. Wells and Volpe. Volpe's regressed to a ridiculous level. No Judge, no Chance, basically, has been the motto with the Yankees. But my bigger issue is that there continues to be these reports that the Yankees, like, what does soft buying mean? I don't know what that means, soft buy. You either buy or you sell. There's no soft selling, soft buying. Are you going to be buyers because you believe in this team, or are you going to be sellers? And then they do the same thing with these players, young players, Spencer Jones. 1 year he's untouchable, the next year he's a bust, now he's back to untouchable again. I'm not saying it would be smart to trade him in a year to, you know, invest in this team where I don't think this team is necessarily worth investing in. That's a different conversation, but they've got to be able to identify what they have in certain players. It can't just be fluctuating year to year or month to month or season to season.
How many times have we sat here and said, what was it? Thank God Aaron Judge is on this team. What would the Yankees look like without Aaron Judge? That's what they look like last night. Did you have fun watching the game? I mean, it's as boring as it gets.
Yeah.
It's boring. And this is the, or these are, the multiple deficiencies that the great Aaron Judge has managed to hide or obscure or partially conceal, however you want to frame it, most of his time as a New York Yankee. Because Aaron Judge has had the misfortune here, it's called for what it is, of being on the greatest franchise in sports history, but also being on the greatest team in sports history, like franchise, that is as poorly run as it's been for the last Lord knows how many years. So it's just a very disjointed mess. Are they coming? Are they going? Are they buying? Are they selling? I mean, my mindset is beginning to fluctuate day to day. You know, I tweeted, and I meant this too, you know, to me, Cody Bellinger is the best pure baseball player on the team. That was just an observation, maybe after the play with Soto in the Mets series, I don't know. Just the more I watched him a couple of weeks back, that was obviously 4th of July weekend, but right around that time, I'm like, my God, this guy is absolutely amazing. And then he started hitting, and he's amazing everywhere defensively, so I went from saying, and I mean this, and I'll back it up in a minute, I went from saying he's the, in my opinion, the best pure baseball player on the team to telling Sal and Dove this morning, I don't know, maybe they should trade Bellinger.
Well, right.
But with the pretense of getting him back this winter, because that guy was made to be a Yankee.
Well, like they did with Aroldis Chapman. Correct. Back in 2016. Pick a direction. Are you going to try to win the World Series? Which they could. I mean, still the
thought. How they win in a World Series with this team?
No, I'm saying, like, they could. I don't think they're going to win World Series. I didn't think that they were any good last year. It's the same thing to me as it was last year, maybe even worse this year, obviously minus Soto, and for the other different reasons. The injuries mounting up, who knows what Judge, they can say it's not a big deal, I'll believe it when I see it. I think it's worse this year than it was a year ago, but last year I did not feel that they were a World Series team, and yet they got to the World Series. I also think the American League is stronger this year. Whereas
it is.
People keep saying the American League stinks, it's not any good. Yeah, maybe, but it's still better than it was a year ago. You're not going to be facing the Royals and Guardians in rounds 1 and 2.
Yep.
Tigers are going to be tough. The Astros are always tough. The Blue Jays have owned you. Like, Yankees have some issues as far as the opponents go, and more so the issues on their own. So are they going to go for it and go to town and try to build a team that can win a World Series?
No, they're not going to do that.
Okay, and I don't think that they should. But then sell. So why not consider selling Bellinger? If Cody Bellinger's on the market, he becomes the best available position player.
Yes.
He's better than Suarez by a landslide. He's more versatile.
And by the way, Suarez got hurt last night.
Yeah, I know. He got hit on the hand.
Waiting for the MRI. If that thing's broken or fractured and he's out for a couple of months, now somebody like Bellinger or other players that were slightly below Suarez
the
demand goes through the roof.
Point is, you make him available, and there's still a chance where, like you said, you could bring him back in the offseason, reset, you get Cole back, a fully healthy Judge, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go out there and sign players that you need to sign, figure out how to construct the roster better for once in your lives, but make a decision. If you want to keep everybody and go for it, then do that. That's fine, too. They need to make their decision. I would not. I would look to more sell at this point. I thought that was crazy talk weeks ago when you brought it up. And now, like, it's a tough decision. The Mets did this in 2023. You and I were first paired together a couple years ago in the summer. And they were just starting to play a little bit better, but then they traded David Roberts. Remember I came in with a bag over my head?
Yeah, that was actually popped up on my I think it was my IG timeline for the anniversary. I'm like, oh, the good old days when Sal was wearing a brown bag.
Yeah.
I miss those days with the Mets. Bring them back.
It was one of the first like shows that we did together, whatever it was.
Hysterical.
It was early on. But it was because they traded Robertson and admitted that they were going to be sellers.
I remember.
Then they traded Verlander and Scherzer, which were solid, good moves that expedited the rebirth of the franchise. But at the time, you could have made the argument, hey, stick this out, get in, and anything could happen. And that's kind of where the Yankees are at now, where, yeah, could they stick this out and get in and anything could happen? Yeah, I guess. But I wouldn't bet on that. I would be looking to expedite the process, saying what we have done here is not good enough. And especially with the Judge injury, whether they think it's significant or not, I personally would maybe look to move some of those pieces, getting good value back and trying to change the build of this team moving forward.
I hear you, and a lot of those things I agree with, but I'm going to do something I haven't done in a while, all right? I'm going to be incredibly positive for a moment about the Yankees. I've been very raw about them. I've been, unfortunately, very right about the Yankees, where, you know, going back to the winter, I'm like, dude, I don't even know if they're going to win the division. Like, even going back a month ago, I'm like, Toronto's good. Like, I think some of my instincts with this team have been on point so far. I'm going to suspend what I believe, and I'm going to suspend what I've seen so far. Let's say the Yankees let's say they do nothing crazy. Like, they don't trade Jones. They don't trade for anybody amazing. Maybe a little tweak. They got to get a bullpen arm. Otherwise, it's a waste of a conversation. But let's just say they get a decent arm in the bullpen, which I believe that they will. And then, obviously, the two players they brought in the last couple of days, which I believe will at least stabilize a little bit. The Yankees, if they get in the playoffs, Sal, now, there's a lot of contingencies. If they get there, and they probably do, if Aaron Judge comes back with no further interruptions and resembles Aaron Judge, I mean, that's a little bit of a leap of faith, but for this conversation, I'm going to say that he does it. I'm going to say that it actually happens. Heel's coming back.
Yeah.
You know, you just get to the playoffs with this team.
Freed, Rodon.
With Freed and Heel and Heel and Rodon third. You know, again, there's a lot of other things that need to happen. You're going to have great third base defense. You're going to have great first base defense if you're playing Goldschmidt. There's other variables, but with Jazz at second, if Volpe ever wakes up and joins the party, it's not impossible to think that the Yankees could go on some crazy run. Like, it's not that nuts.
It
doesn't feel real. It feels like a figment of my imagination right now because they are almost unwatchable, but it's not impossible.
I get it. Before the Seattle series, that was the sentiment by many. You were saying that's what you're saying, they should be sellers, blah, blah, blah. Then they go out there and trounce Seattle the way that they did, and it's like, oh, season back on, Yankees look like world beaters again.
Mm-hmm.
Then they lose to the Cubs, they lose to the Phillies, whatever. So I can see both sides of it. I understand the argument, hey, we could be as dangerous as anybody else in the postseason if we get in with our offense. I don't believe in the pitching as much as you do, maybe. Like, I need to see he'll come back. Yeah, it's great to talk about him.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Rodon in the big spot, I don't trust at all. The bullpen has been, now, it's been disastrous.
It's the worst part of the team.
Which is hard to fix, other than, you know, you have Williams, who's, you know, right now, the most trusted piece. Weaver could get there, but even those guys at their peak in the postseason, I saw Weaver give up bombs in the postseason a year ago, and certainly Devin Williams can get beat on any given night, so I don't necessarily trust him either. I think the Yankees need another power arm, at least one more power arm in that bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
So I question the starting rotation. I question the bullpen.
They have a few guys coming. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah. They do have a few guys coming back from injury.
Yeah, like who?
Not that I love Leiter.
Cruz coming back.
Coming back, and he's one of those guys that throws
Leiter,
gas.
I mean, whatever.
No, I'm not a big Leiter guy.
Yeah, Cruz swinging this guy, whatever, that's fine. And also, the offense, to me, like Judge specifically, we still haven't seen him doing it in the postseason. Now, he's the least of your concerns. You see Stanton last night? Like, this will he looks like a minor leaguer.
I mean, I saw one at bat. He hit 109 mile per hour one hop rocket to right field.
Stanton,
he had some empty at bats, but Stanton's been pretty good since he got back.
Come on.
He's been good since he got back.
He's been all right, but still, when he's out there 0 for 4 with the 3 strikeouts or last night with the 2 strikeouts, like, just too many times he's overmatched. To me, the inconsistencies of him are maddening. Dominguez in left field, he looks uncomfortable in the outfield, still learning as a player offensively. So you can sit there and paint a positive picture, which I get.
By the way, which I don't do. I'm just doing this for the other side of the coin.
Understand that's. But
I don't really believe it.
I do get that side of it. You can make that argument. But there's also a negative side to it as well, where you can't. They don't have a shortstop. The catcher's not really what we thought he was going to be. Stanton's maddeningly inconsistent.
And might have to play the outfield.
I mean, come on,
that's. Yeah.
The fact that Martino can report, he wrote about this on SNY.TV.
What, the soft?
Yeah, with the Yanks brought up Bellinger and Goldschmidt in talks, at least with one other club, like, it shows you that they also see both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're uncertain.
I think that's encouraging, though.
Yeah, but pick a sign.
Well, there's still the evaluation.
Get off the pot, bro. Like,
no, I hear you. But at least, like, it could be the Yankees view themselves as a World Series team and are going to do whatever it takes to, like, that to me would be cavalier because they're not a World Series team right now. I prefer to get that kind of reporting because at least that tells me that they're maybe open to a change of thought, which they need to be.
Right, but then what if the owner, Andy alluded to something like this. I had him on Baseball Night in New York last night. He was live from Yankee Stadium giving the updates, and he said something. I didn't have a chance to follow up. You know how these things are. Timed or whatever. But he alluded to something that made me believe, like maybe Cashman in the front office feel one way,
okay,
but unsure that the ownership would allow it. Like, let's say Cashman said, hey, now, again, I don't know. I'm just trying to do the math from what Andy said. It made me think that maybe there's a little bit of a conflict there where Cashman could identify this team and say, I don't know if we're it, but ownership is saying, well, we're close enough. We're in the playoffs. Might as well. Don't have to go all in, but we're not going to sell off pieces. Like, trading Bellinger is a huge deal. That's way from the white flag.
That's a massive deal. Unless there's a wink and a nod and his dad played here and he looks like, you know, casting 101, like, that's the kind of guy you'd have to believe him. If he says, I'm coming back, I would believe him. Like, I know people would be pissed off if he's dealt because he's such a night-to-night presence. And it would be an unconventional road to take, although they have done it with Chapman. Here's the thing, though. If Cashman comes in and says that and says what you just said, you know, I don't know if this is it. And I'm Hal, you know what I'm going to say? Well, why the hell not? You built this. Why? Because this is the question. Brian, why is this not it? You built this, Brian. Again, why do I have to go and pick up $16 million for a guy who's hitting 220, you know, and Ryan McMahon? Yeah. Why are we here again, Cash? You know I love you, and my dad loves you, and our family's always going to love you, Brian. Can you explain to me why we are back in the same position?
I'm with you. That's the other thing that I was thinking, talking about the Yankees and watching them. The team's not playoff caliber, and it can't be the excuse of, well, Judge is out for 10 days.
Nobody wants to hear that nonsense.
It's not that. Why are we here again? Why have they mishandled Volpe? Look at what the Mets did with Francisco Alvarez and look at how that worked. Now, again, they're different players. You mentioned it yesterday. I thought it was a great point. Alvarez had the right mentality, and maybe the Mets knew that, which gave them the luxury of saying, hey, you're not doing what you need to be doing here. We know you're better than this. Let's send you down, get yourself right, and we'll call you back up. He accepted it. He got himself right. He's back up. He's contributing, looking like himself again with that potential that we saw from Alvarez. The Yankees just rode the wave out with Volpe, and now he's sinking. Mm-hmm. It's getting progressively worse. They never did anything about it. Dominguez, same thing. You and I had the conversation. You thought I was nuts saying they should put Dominguez down in the minors. It wasn't because I don't think he's a major league player. It's because I need to see him get more seasoning in the minor leagues. He does not look like an everyday big league player to me. I'm sorry. I watch him in left field.
Dominguez.
Yeah, he's
a hitter. He does
there.
To me. He just. I told you I wouldn't play him in the outfield.
Yeah, okay, but so you're not going to play him in the outfield. Where's he going to play?
Well, he can't because he can't DH because you got Stanton.
Okay,
and then you're going to have Judge.
Okay, and he also can't hit from the right side.
But they are playing him in the outfield.
So what is he though?
Again,
he can only hit from the left side, and he doesn't have a position. Like,
well, I told you what I would do.
Yeah, you put
him in
center
field. If he could finally play center field, the position that he actually came up with. What a concept!
Well, why can't you do that when he's in the minor leagues? And by the way, it was easier to say this with Judge there because you could have Judge, Grisham, and Bellinger in the outfield.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard. And the Yankees, for whatever reason, they're trying to thread the needle, and it just isn't working. Their track record. This is not even opinion anymore. Their track record shows they have not shown the ability to develop these players, these high touted prospects. Almost every one of them outside of Judge, who, by the way, wasn't even highly touted, they failed. They have failed.
Basically every one of them. There is nobody that could push back on that. You just can't. Hopefully Lombard is different. You know, hopefully whenever they reward Spencer Jones for hitting 30 minor league home runs, and he should get the call. He's going to be 25. Come on. I mean, hopefully they don't ruin him. You know, there's just, listen, to me, the Yankees, because we're getting ready for football season, right? To me, the New York Yankees are like watching. Now, I mean, to say that they're like the Jets is a complete disrespect. I'm not going that far. But the Yankees are a team with a bad offensive line. There's other shiny parts and other things that they have are really good. But the ability to function night to night in high pressure spots against good teams that can catch and run and pitch, you know, like playoff teams can generally, that's where the offensive line deficiencies pop up. The Yankees just have a bad old line.
I love the analogy. What do I always say? Inside out. When it comes to football teams, I want to build inside out. Forget the shiny toy with neighbors. Build the inside out.
Yeah.
And while you can't do that same thing with baseball, where's the inside? But the foundation.
Yeah.
The infrastructure.
Well, the inside is catching the ball.
Well,
it's not left tackle. It's, you know, up the middle. You know, it's good catcher, good short, good center, well, good second.
Not only catching it, hitting it as well. I know that the Yankees can mash, but not putting the ball in play.
Can
is
they
a big
mash?
Thing. Not playing.
Well, I don't see them mashing anymore. No. Oh, the Yankees don't need any bats. Yankees mash. I haven't watched a mash fest seemingly in a couple of weeks. Yeah. I know there's an outlier. And hit last night. They didn't hit over the weekend. Yanks aren't mashing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're a bully team.
Mashing.
They're a bully offense. When one guy hits a home run, it seems that five of them hit it. But that's what I mean. The power that they have, that's got to be their greatest strength. If it's not their power, then what is it? Meaning the threat at any moment, Grisham, Bellinger, Judge, Rice, Stanton, Goldie, like at any moment, and maybe some more than others, Wells, whatever.
They run into one.
Yeah,
no, they've got a lot of guys with some pop. Yeah. But speaking of Jazz, like, to me, and again, fundamentally, and I would love to ask Aaron Boone this. I if he was on, I wouldn't be the first thing, but I would ask him this. Skip, now it may have changed in the last day or so. I don't think it did. You realize it's been like 40-something games since Jazz Chisholm stole a base? And Jazz Chisholm was an all-star because Jazz Chisholm is hitting. And when you hit, you're on base. Now, I know he's hit some home runs, some doubles as well. Can somebody explain to me a guy who stole 40 bases for this team or combined last year with the Marlins and the Yankees has not attempted a stolen base in 40-something games? Well, how is that possible? It's like Steph Curry not shooting a three.
Yeah, makes no sense.
I mean, he's not as good as Steph, but you get the comparison. Come on.
Should be one of the great skill sets that he has, his speed. Something different, something that we liked about the acquisition last year. Versatile. Yankees need more speed. So that brings us to some football stuff here. Jordan Renan, I saw him tweet a little while ago, BT, that Malik Nabers apparently went down with a shoulder injury at Giants training camp. He went to the, this is from Renan's tweet, Nabers went into the Giants field house with the head trainer, Ronnie Barnes, then came outside, gave Dable the update. Nabers did not return to practice. He appears done for the day. So I don't know how significant this is, but it appears Nabers suffered a little bit of a shoulder issue today at training camp.
Yeah, and I know Connor Hughes is out there as well, and Connor tweeted, I guess he had a couple of issues. One is the shoulder, and Connor also had Nabers banged up during team drills at Giants practice, down for a moment, then he walked off himself dealing with a toe injury. Mm. We'll see if he comes back. And then a later separate tweet from Connor is he did not mention shoulder, but it said he was taken back to the locker room with trainers, got banged up during team drill. So either Connor thought it was a toe and it was the shoulder, which is possible. There's a lot of bodies out there, or the toe's a little bit jacked up and the shoulder. To what extent, nobody knows, but this is the, I gotta tell you,
I should say Hoff told me it was the shoulder from other stuff that he saw, and the Jordan Renani did not mention shoulder, so I just don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we're piecing this together. Yeah. Bottom line is, it's not great when your superstar receiver, you know, has to leave a drill. Doesn't seem like it's season altering, but you know, I don't know, and hopefully it's not. But this is the worst part of being a football fan.
Training camp.
It's not even August 1st, and what guy, for a second day with Justin Fields, now he's okay, and I'm not saying Justin Fields is Aaron Rodgers when Aaron was 25 years of age, but he's the quarterback for the season.
Starting quarterback, yeah, it's a problem.
It's tough, man. There's so many injuries, and, you know, the Achilles, and the knees, and the patellas, and the other ligaments, and tendons, and shoulders, and wrists. These guys, they deserve every penny.
And that's the bottom line. Right, they should have deep contracts.
Yeah.
And the only thing for me from camp, like, I can't get into, we discussed this yesterday, I can't get into the, oh, he threw an interception, oh, he was 7-for-7 on team drills, like, I don't care. Oh, he led the team in the 2-minute drill down the field and scored a touchdown. I don't care. Jackson Dart, Justin Fields, doesn't matter. I want to see them do it in real game time. The only thing for me from camp that is of any relevancy is health. So, yeah, when you hear the Justin Fields thing, it's a scare because that's your starting quarterback. He goes down, you're screwed right out of the gate.
Yep.
If it's Malik Nabers and you imagine him, whatever, even if it's not worst-case scenario, but he's banged up and misses a few weeks in the beginning of the year, that's a problem for the Giants. So, as it would be with other teams with their, you know, premier players. So, health is the most important thing for me from training camp. That's the only thing I want to hear about. The only thing I care about is the health of these players.
Yeah, the stats to me are completely insignificant, but the one thing, I do put a lot of emphasis on this. Now, it doesn't apply to every team to every season, but like, and more so for the Jets because it's Aaron Glenn's first year. But I think it was Kay Adams. Somebody was out of Jets camp. She might even be there again today. I don't know. But she was out there yesterday, I believe, and she said there's a lot of juice. And others have said that too.
Yeah.
That there's detectable, like palpable juice with the Giants, and it didn't quite feel that way. So, you know, I not that it translates to wins, but if there's spirit, if there's energy, that's a good sign. Again, the stats mean nothing. And then from the Jets' perspective, you know, the fact that they're hitting. I mean, they were going through some old school drills yesterday, and then Aaron Glenn talked about that. He's like, we've got to learn to tackle. We've got to make these players uncomfortable. He's brought the referees back. We talked about that yesterday.
I love it.
So, like, those things I could extrapolate from a training camp practice much more than stats. But the injuries are number one.
100%. Love to hear that. Also, the counter would be, and I said this yesterday, it sounds great. Now we actually got to see it go out there and have them execute in games. And by the way, it doesn't mean that they have to win all these games. Like, this is how pathetic we are in New York football. I just want to see some competitive football games for the first few months of the season. Is that too much to ask?
No. This year, I don't think it is, actually. Like, I think last year it was. I don't think this year.
With both teams, it was too much to ask.
That's what I'm saying.
With both teams, they should at the very least be competitive, right? You think Russell Wilson, I don't love him, but can the Giants at least move the football? It shouldn't seem like an impossibility to score a touchdown. Those things happen. When you watch football games outside of New York, teams score points. Teams score touchdowns. The Jets and Giants have not done their share in scoring touchdowns in recent years. So I'd like to just see some competitive football where each team actually has a chance to win a game or two in the first few months.
I mean, I agree. We're all waiting for this. I'm excited for the season. It's so long away, or so far away. I think the Steelers game to me is a winnable game. I mean, Steelers, I've got great respect for their franchise. You know, their roster's okay. You know, Mike Tomlin's been under fire. Aaron Rodgers is 41. Get in his ass, honestly. Yeah. Chase him around the field. Hammer him from, tackle him from behind. And really, make him show his age.
Look, dude, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I think Rodgers is going to get some payback.
The hell out of here. Not against us. He's not. I think the Jets are going to smoke him. He's an old man.
I think Rodgers is going to get some payback week one. Man, that is going to be. Talk about the storylines. Week one right out of the gate.
Either way, the storyline's there. Because if he lights up the Jets, that's one thing. If he plays poorly, now the Aaron Glenn era is off to a good start. The other thing, too, quickly about. He very well might throw a couple touchdowns. I don't know. Although I do think it's only a 3-point spread. So Vegas is saying the Jets have a pretty good chance
Steelers
to win this
favored
game.
Favored by three.
Steelers
even
laying
on
three
the
on the road.
Okay.
So it's really Steelers by 5.5, whatever. On a neutral site or in Pittsburgh. I love the fact, again, this is just early training camp stuff, but we all love football. The early signs, hey, Sauce Gardner, you are wherever their best receiver is, you're traveling.
Yeah.
You're following.
Good, and let's see what
About
he can
time.
Do. Let's see what he can actually do this year. You're right. It's the best way they should use him. That's how the top paid corner should be used. You're not playing one side of the field. Let's go, big boy. Yep. Get on their best
and
guy.
And he wanted to in his defense.
Okay, good. Now let's see him shut him down. I don't even need to see the interception numbers.
Yeah.
I could do it without the dropped interceptions that you should catch that I can catch.
Yeah, one against Dallas. Yeah. It would have been a pick six 2 years
the
ago.
The one against Minnesota in London was a disaster.
Yep, yep.
Set the thing off the wrong way. But let's see. I can't wait. That's a huge storyline as well, seeing if he can live up to the expectations for once. All right. We'll get back to the football stuff, get back to the calls here. But before we do that, BT, there are two tweets from Mark Feinsand, baseball reporter.
Baseball stuff. Mark's good. I like Mark. What do you got? He's more Yankee-oriented, right?
Ryan Helsley, he used to be, but I think now it's just in general, MLB in general. Ryan Helsley, one of the most popular trade targets with no less than a half dozen teams interested among the suitors for Helsley, and obviously for the Cards.
Cards, yep.
Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Phillies, Rangers, and Blue Jays. So
okay.
Yankees and Mets bolted on him. And one more.
You're not getting him for, your 37th prospect. I mean, you got six teams who are trying to win a World Series. You're going to have to give something up big time.
He's going to command a lot.
I know.
That's a big time arm. That's one that I want either the Mets or the Yankees to get. And then find Sam one more on Luis Robert Jr. He's on the radar of several teams, including the Mets. Center fielder struggled to play for the past two seasons, but his past 6 weeks he's been on fire. And he goes into some of the numbers. I don't need to give you that, but it's at least there's more legitimacy to it, other than just doing the Mets being like, hey, here's a center fielder who might be available. I think the Mets are going to go big game hunting here, like big time, trying to really improve themselves at the trade deadline.
But you know they're going to get another arm in the bullpen.
Yeah, but,
you know
but I want a big one.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that would be the big one. Bednar from the Pirates.
What is it, 12 for 12 saves? Pitching very well.
Yeah, he's been an all-star.
I know. He's good arms out there, dude.
Yeah, BT and Sal on the fan. Brad is in Mineola. What's up, Brad?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
All right, so the reason why I say Suarez over Robert, and that's my thought, is that I believe that more comes back with Suarez than it does Robert. If it's like a one-for-one or it's like, let's say, Acuna and someone else for Robert, I'm cool with it. Seeing Vientos yesterday just basically brought me back to the playoffs, and it's very hard to even think about getting rid of him. But obviously, at this point, every season is its own season. And right now, the Mets are like one or two moves away from being the number one contender to win the whole thing. So you got to do what you have to do. But in my opinion, getting Suarez and getting a guy like Zach Gallen, or possibly getting Shelby Miller, even though he's injured, or Kevin Ginkle, who was having an off season, but he, the last 2 years, was lights out. I think you get more from Arizona than you do from Chicago. And I want to know your thoughts about that.
I would prefer Robert myself, and thank you for the call. And the reason why, Brad, is because he's a better fit. He's a center fielder.
Yep.
Suarez is appealing, sure. He's also just a specific rental, which I'm not opposed to, and I wouldn't mind getting one of the pitchers back. But I would rather get Robert in center field and live with Mauricio at third than I would live with McNeil and Taylor in center field and get Suarez at third.
I agree with that.
You know
I totally agree with that, yes.
Dude, you bat Mauricio ninth.
Yeah.
He's going to be solid defensively. He's got the potential to be a star offensively.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about third base right now with the way that Mauricio has shown. And worst case, you could go back to Beatty, assuming that you do trade Vientos. But at least they have some options there, whereas they need a center fielder.
Yeah, I was just looking for this when you were speaking, too. It, you know, the x-rays look like they came back favorably for Suarez.
Yeah.
But I guess there's still some internal concern. Like, he was going to maybe miss a little bit of time. Nothing broken. So that's good, but, you know, that is a tough time to get hit in the hand. What do you got there, Hoffy?
You're breaking news here,
huh? Yeah, it's pretty big, actually, because Boone just was on with the guys from...
John Boy, yeah, talking Yanks.
Luis Gil's going to go 75 pitches today. If all goes well, he's starting this weekend versus the Marlins.
There you go. Okay, so the decision for the Yankees, and Susan and I talked about this, and I talked to Boone about this a while ago when I was asking him about Gil this months ago. And the decision for the Yankees was, do we stretch him out that last start down there, or do we do it up here? And we have our answer. So one more start, 75, call them up.
And then he's going to pitch this weekend.
And he's going to pitch this weekend for the Yankees. So
the Yanks.
Yeah, make sure that blister's okay. Freed has not been very good the last five or six starts. The numbers are very different.
Right. I'm just trying to go over the rotation here in my head.
Rodon.
Right.
Will Warren has not been very good lately.
Stroman has been god-awful.
Stroman's terrible.
Schlittler last night.
Good stuff. I trust him.
So what do you do with Heel back in the rotation? Is it Stroman out, or is it Schlittler out, I would think? You're not going to move Warren, right?
He has not been as good. Like, I liked him the first, I still like him. He's got a lot of strikeouts, but he's been getting knocked around. I don't know that he's cemented there.
Right.
I think I'd rather, honestly, Sal, I'd rather have Schlittler right now than Warren pitching as a starter.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you have Freed, Rodon, Heel once he comes back.
Yep.
Then you're going to have to fill out the next two. So who are you going to go?
I would go with Schlittler in there.
And then it's going to be Stroman or Warren.
Who's better equipped to come out of the bullpen? I would say probably Warren because he averages about 10.5 strikeouts per nine.
Oh God, you keep
and Stroman doesn't.
I know, but you keep Stroman in the rotation. Woof.
I don't know. I don't like Stroman. I don't think he's very good.
The
anymore.
Yanks might need another arm. Yeah, he's
I know.
I hated the signing to begin with.
I didn't mind it early, but now I don't know why he's back.
Yeah, but either way, it's going to be Hoff, stay on that. See if Booney says anything with the talking Yanks guys with John Boy and Jake.
Especially about Spencer Jones. I know that they asked him. Yeah. I'm curious what he says about that.
I don't know if he's going to have a good answer on that, you think?
He's got to have an answer.
Well, about calling him up. I'm thinking about trading.
You calling him up, Skip?
I was more thinking about trading. So, yes, calling up Spencer Jones and also how he would plan to fill out that rotation because I would be curious to see if they're going to stick with Schlittler and what they would do with the other spot in that rotation. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We will get back to the calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. Time for a little Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth. Before we do that, Hoff, I just want to update the Malik Nabers situation. Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo said the Giants' Malik Nabers left practice, will have his shoulder checked out, but he appears okay. Giants are expecting a sigh of relief on Nabers.
So that's good.
There you go.
What?
How's his toe?
Now, that I don't know about. They went on the shoulder. All right, what do you got for us, Hoffy? How's your ear, by the way?
It's terrible. It's miserable.
You've been, I got to say, because BT normally has good energy, right? Hoff has good energy.
He does.
The last two days, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know it was something about the rumors around here, what was happening, but you had...
No, I'm happy about rumors. I love rumors. And rumors make me feel good.
But then you had the earache, so I guess that...
Because none of them, they didn't involve me at all. That's why I fucking...
Maybe you benefit from it, though. You never know.
I've had a ear infection since Friday into Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And I've done nothing.
Stay home.
Is it? Yeah, is it contagious?
That's no, I don't mean that.
Why are you wrestling with this? I don't want to get the ear infection.
No, you know that's not contagious.
Okay. You sure about that?
That's an ear infection.
Here, I'll rub my ear on you.
Yeah. No. All right, what do you got for us?
Take some earwax out.
Dude, please. All right. let's start with this right here. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth, BT. Breece Hall will finish the season as a top 15 all-purpose yards league leader.
Yeah, I mean, you said before, get off the pod, it's go time. I mean, Breece, it's pretty much go time here.
Top 15? I mean, why not top 30?
I know, right?
Well, top 15. Well, because last year he sat at 17.
Yeah, no, it's the neighborhood. I'm going to say, I think Breece is poised for a big year, but I also know that Justin's going to run a lot more than Roger. I'm going to say ball face lie, because Allen's going to get some carries. They're going to use the tight end more. I'm going to say bald-face lie.
I'm going to say it's a truth. There's something about Hall. Now, I was the one who was saying everybody's overrating this guy. He was the best back in the league, but he hasn't done anything yet. But I do feel like he's got the right mentality. Now, that's going to be the caveat. How are they going to use him because of the other options that they have, because Fields running the football? But, dude, we all know this. Hall, out of the backfield as a receiver, is a major threat and a weapon.
Yeah.
They've got to figure out how to utilize him properly. I believe that Aaron Glenn and his staff will. I'm going to say that he's good. Now, I don't think top 15 is great. He's got to be top 10, maybe even top 5, according to the expectations. I think he'll be top 10, put it that way. So I would say bold-faced truth.
Okay.
I think bold-faced truth.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That sounds right, I think. Bold-faced lie, bold-faced truth. Sal.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson will start every game this season for the Giants, barring injury.
It's not as easy as you would think. I am still going to say bald-faced lie, because I think the scenario to make that a truth is that the Giants have to be good. And I do think that there is a path for that. I don't think this is all about, it's automatically Jackson Dart is going to take over. And you said health. So if it's not health, I don't think Jameis sees the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
Then it only comes down to, are the Giants going to be good enough to justify playing Russell Wilson every game? I don't believe that they will. So I will say bold-faced lie. At some point, they will realize their season is over and the playoff dreams are over, and they will transition, even if it is for a game or two, to Jackson Dart to give a little glimpse into the future.
I'm going to go the other way. It's a tough one. I think he's going to be pretty good. You know, not great. He's going to be functional. That's what I said last week. I think that you might see, now I'm going to kind of half it here, you might see Jackson Dart come in after halftime at a blowout. I mean, the way it was framed was start.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say bald-faced truth. I believe that Winston will not factor in. I think James Winston might get cut. We talked about this. Like, if you actually want to get Dart the meaningful reps to get him ready for whenever he's going to play, I would think that he would have to be the number two at some point, and then that would enable Winston to go somewhere else. So I think Wilson will be fine. I think his teammates will like him. He will be a professional. Bold-faced truth. I think he's going to start every game if he's healthy.
Do you think that, like, the Giants want Dart to get meaningful reps this year?
I think they're trying to keep him in bubble wrap for a year.
Yeah, me too.
So then Winston would, if there was an injury, Winston's the guy.
Yeah, yes. That's what I think would happen, yeah.
All right, final one for you. BT, the bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth, the Yankees and the Mets will win their divisions.
Bald-faced lie. The Yankees are not going to win the division. I could be prisoner of the moment, and the Mets look good, even with the loss last night. And I know they've got another arm coming, something else maybe. I think that goes down to the final weekend. Like, I don't think the Phillies are going away. Philly's going to make some moves as well. Right now, my answer is bald-faced lie. Yankees, I don't think they're going to win the division. I would say slightly more yes than no that the Mets do. But since I already have the Yankees not winning it, bald-faced lie.
Yeah, I think that's the easy answer. I'm going to go back to my until I see otherwise, meaning the Yankees decide to sell off some significant pieces, I'm going to stick to, I just don't believe in the Blue Jays. I know head-to-head, it's been a problem. It's easy to overreact and get caught up in the moment, and right now it seems hopeless for the Yankees. I believe in the Red Sox more than I do Toronto.
No way.
Yeah, I do, man.
Oh, come on.
Dude, the Red Sox have closed the gap here.
I know what's happened, but Toronto's straight up beat the Yankees and
I don't trust the Blue Jays. I know, you're right. I don't trust the Blue Jays. I need to see them finish the job here. Long way to go. It's only 5.5 games. I'm going to say it is a bald-faced truth. Both teams win the division. I really feel like the Mets are going to. Now, again, it's up for grabs. Like you said, I wouldn't be shocked. Mets have a brutal schedule. They highlighted this on SNY last night.
I saw it.
They're going to have a tough schedule down the stretch. So
I saw it.
That could change things. Really doesn't matter as long as you get in the postseason. But I do think both teams, if I thought this a month ago, I'm going to stick to it now, even with the Yankees looking lost. That is a bald-faced truth.
Man, I hope you're right. I just don't feel that at all. But it's also probably about as bad as it could get right now. Yeah. So I understand that. And while the Mets finish up with a brutal schedule, conversely, the Yankees finish up with a layup. So I'm going to get to, I saw this about a week or so ago on Yes, and I'm just going to update it for everybody. They have the best strength of schedule in terms of the weakest opponents as the final 15 games. So September 15th, starting after the three-game series up in Boston, all right, the weekend of the 12th, 13th, 14th, the Yankees play three at Minnesota, who are going to make some trades and strip down, four at Baltimore. More. Now, they've gotten a little bit better, but not good. Then they got three with the White Sox, and whatever they have is probably going to be dealt anyway, and then three more with the Orioles. So you're talking about a 13-game stretch right there where the Yankees are going to be facing teams who can't wait to get to the golf course.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. It's a long way to go. It's 5.5 games. They've been sinking. They're playing awful baseball. Assuming they don't sell, assuming Judge comes back, you know, in the 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming they add a bullpen arm, and I think those are all good assumptions.
Is that it?
Well, but don't you think that it's realistic to expect? Now, of those, what do you think is the least likely? Like, is Judge coming back?
What was the first one? So it was Judge,
sell.
Bullpen.
Assuming they don't sell, Judge coming back and add bullpen.
You know, I would sell a few pieces. But I think that the least predictable thing, or the thing that's toughest to predict, is his health. I don't know.
Well, and if he's hurt, forget it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do I think he's going to come back in 10 days and play? Yes, I do. Do I think he's Aaron Judge? I don't know. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I have a hard time believing he's going to be able to throw, but they'll figure out a way to get him in the lineup. Let's get Alex and East Quag in, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I haven't called in a while because Tibbs got fired, so I really didn't have a whole lot to say. But I just saw a pig fly by my house because I find myself agreeing with some of the things that Sal says about the Yankees. And let me just make a couple of points here. I think they need an organizational overhaul, but they're the type of organization that will never do that, of course. Their scouting, their player development, and their coaching stinks. Listen to these ages and stats. These are their good young players that made it up to the team in the last couple of years.
Yep.
Austin Wells, 26, he's hitting .214. Ben Rice is 26, he's hitting .229. Will Warren, with an ERA close to 5, is 26. Volpe, of course, goes without saying. Clark Schmidt, who became a good pitcher, is 29. Luis Gil is 27. Cam Schlittler, who, you know, obviously has some tools, he's 24, but his breaking ball is in AA. I think he needs to go back down. They overvalued some of their players. I mean, the Martian, the great Martian, he's hitting .258. Remember Debbie Garcia, the next
Pedro
Martinez?
Yeah, of course, pitcher, yeah.
Remember Everson Pereira, the 5-2
outfielder, yes. No more.
This goes to the fact that their player development stinks. They either draft players who they think are going to be better than they are, or they draft good players and they develop them cruddy. It's astounding.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. And Alex, thanks for the call. So I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
And Alex, everything Alex said is spot on. And it's sincerely a question. I'm framing it in the form of a question. Have we, and when I say we, I mean the station, has there ever been a central theme with one of our teams for so long, the same issue like we have with the Yankees? I mean, maybe the Knicks with Dolan, that's close in the mid-2000s, starting with Isaiah, Larry Brown, that was a disaster, and that languished for a while. I'm not trying to be unfair to the Yankees, but geez, I mean, this has been a staple of our conversations for years on this station.
It's been the same issue. It's been the same issue for a long time. I mean, the Jets, we could talk about their futility and Woody and the
same,
different hires.
But it's not the same issue.
Right.
Even Woody went to work for Trump. So Woody was out of it,
right.
The first presidency, the first term for Trump. Like, I'm talking about the same roster construction, lack of player development. Yeah, the Jets have had bad quarterbacks and bad O-lines and bad coaches.
Mets ownership prior to Steve Cohen.
That's a good one. That's up there. No, that's why I'm asking the question. Like, there's a couple, but this is definitely on the list.
But I guess the ownership one to me would be in a different category. whether you want to use Dolan with the Knicks or the Wilpons with the Mets, because there's nothing you could do about that. There is something that could have been done about the Yankees issues, where we talk about the lack of player development, the lack of proper constructing a ball club. It's the same thing for years. And it's usually in the other organizations, Mets, Knicks, Jets, that have failed, even the Giants, what happens? There's change. There's turnover. And with the Yankees, there just hasn't been any change. Matter of fact, the one time that they made a change, they fired a manager after you got to Game 7 of the 2017 ALCS with Girardi. I mean, prior to last year, that was the furthest the Yankees had been. Now, I'm not saying that I want change. I don't want, like, I want Boone to keep this job forever. I love him. I think he's a great guy.
Yep.
But if things keep going the way that they are, how could you not say the changes need to be made? I mean, I said this in 2021 that I thought Cashman should have been gone and Boone as collateral damage. I mean, dude, it can't continue like this.
Well, the reality of the situation is that, you know, eventually there's going to be change. When the Yankees decide to make changes, it's going to be Boone who is not spared in Cashman. See, like, it's not going to be whenever it happens. It's not going to be Boone and Cashman.
But that's a problem.
I agree.
I mean, I will
scream. It's not fair.
I will go nuts if it's one.
It's not fair to Boone.
Correct.
But it's going to be Boone before Cashman. You know that that's going to be the pecking order.
I think it's got to be both or neither then. It's not right. You're going to make Boone the fall guy for
no,
what?
No, that's why we do. People get mad when we defend them. But just because we see what you can't or refuse to admit, that's not our problem. That's a you problem. I mean, Aaron Boone's a little wacky with the lineup and who's hitting first and the inconsistencies. I get it. And, you know, telling us that Volpe's still amazing. It's been three plays. I get it. I mean, Aaron Boone has said some very questionable things the last couple of weeks where I'm like, man, Skip, you got to be a little bit more honest. But if you can't see that the problem is more Cashman than Boone, I don't know what to tell anybody.
And it doesn't mean that we would say keep Boone but fire Cashman.
No, I'm not saying that either.
It's that if they're going to go, they both need to go. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll reset, come back, hit you with the king topic of the day, and get back to more of your calls. Trade deadline stuff ahead of Thursday's deadline, 2 days to go. The rumors are starting to be rampant. What are the Mets and Yankees going to do?